Have you been getting ready for the new year? Yes or no? No? So-so? Stephen, does that mean, Stephen's doing this, does that mean you have not cleaned out your house and dusted and thrown out old things and things like that? You haven't done that? Has anyone else done that? No? Well, now I can't preach my message this morning because my message is all about that. I'd gone over to see some friends and eat cheese a couple of days ago, and as I walked in the exit to the building, it was the back exit, it was the back where people would take all of their lapsap and basura and garbage out the back way, I looked down, and there was a trail of muddy water and little green things about this long all over the floor. And I looked down, and I knew exactly what had happened. Somebody was getting ready for the new year. They had taken out their old Christmas tree. That's what it was. It was a little Christmas. It had been a live Christmas tree. As you can see, ours is still up. We're not quite ready. We're waiting for Twelfth Night, aren't we? But obviously, they were moving things out, getting ready for the new year, because it was just a couple of days ago. We're going to have some time for some sharing this morning. But I did look up a few things about getting ready for the new year. That's why I said, have you done anything to get ready for the new year? And I found out some things while I was preparing. By the way, what I want to share with you this morning, actually, the Lord put on my heart, not this specific part, you know, I always add to it, but during November, the Lord really began to put some things on my heart about the very last service of the year, which is today. So, you know, Lighthouse has 20 or so nationalities. I don't know what Frank and Janet, I don't even know what they call themselves anymore. They've been in Australia so long. I don't know if they're Aussies now. I don't know. We'll have to find out. You are? They're nodding their heads. Okay. But with a group this size, we have all sorts of New Year's and New Year's Eve activities and customs and traditions. So ushers, you can sit down for a while if you want to. They're there waiting, ready, because we're gonna do some different things today, but then we'll come back to it. But on any given Sunday, Lighthouse will have maybe 20 different nationalities represented here. Although we look around, it may not seem that way. And in a year, there may be 30, 35 different nationalities. So I was looking up some of the things that people do to end the old year and get ready for the new year. And I found out some things. Is anybody Greek here today? Any Greeks? If you are Greek, this is what you do on New Year's Eve to get ready for the new year. You gamble. Who knew? And you gamble a lot. The winner will be prosperous in the new year, apparently, and the loser, don't worry, will be lucky in love in the new year. So there's no way to lose when you gamble in Greece. These are specifically New Year's Eve customs. So South Africa, who knew? We can clarify with Claire later. And a few other African countries, they may throw old appliances and broken furniture out the windows. So watch out below if you live on the second or the third floor to get ready to prepare for the new year. And then Italians, I don't think we have any Italians here, they will throw anything out, anything old and unwanted out the window. Now, some of us don't do that. If you are Bulgarian, I know we don't have any Bulgarians here, this is what you do on New Year's Eve to get ready for the new year. You go around patting people on the back. So you might try that right now, just for a little. Because that's supposed to mean that you will be healthy in the new year. So if you'd like to pat somebody on the back right now, as the Bulgarians do, to ensure good health. Tobias, make sure your mom gets a big pat. She needs some good health, right? Be careful how hard you pat, right? Okay. In Spain and apparently other Spanish-influenced countries, at the stroke of midnight, you eat 12 grapes. On every stroke of the bell, like dong, dong. I think that'd be... I think that'd be pretty hard to do, right? Not too fast and not too slow. So one grape for every, that's in Spain and apparently some other places too. Okay, pardon me for this one, but if you are from Brazil, Ecuador, Venezuela, Bolivia, and apparently some people in the Philippines, you wear lucky colored underwear on New Year's Eve to get ready for the new year. And apparently the favorite colors for various reasons are red, yellow, and pink. Go figure. Did you wear your lucky colored underwear to get ready? Did I offend anybody with that question? Okay. In the Philippines. Oh, you thought I was going to, you're going to escape. You're not going to escape. In the Philippines, I'm just looking around. I don't know if we have any Filipinos here or not. Apparently, you wear outfits that are polka dotted.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Did any of you do that this morning?
No.
I think because the polka dots are supposed to represent coins, right? To prepare for the new year. Or if you are Filipino, the other round thing that you will do, that you will put on your table, and you will have 12 of them, is what? 12 different round fruits on New Year's Eve. Some of you are saying, huh? Don't worry. Your country has weird things, too. All our countries have weird things. So one for each one of the months. But that's not the only one. Canada, Amy thought, you know, Canadians, you think that they're, but they're pretty, oh, Amy's there now. Oh, and Susan as well. Apparently a lot of Canadians take a polar bear plunge in the frozen rivers and lakes between New Year's Eve and New Year's. Have you done that, Amy? Susan?
No.
I'm glad I'm not Canadian. If you're from the UK, especially from Yorkshire, before, on the last day of the year, and then when it crosses over to the new day, the new year, you say in the closing seconds, black rabbit, black rabbit, black rabbit. And then as soon as it goes into the new year, you say, white rabbit, white rabbit, white rabbit. Apparently. In Denmark, you smash plates on the steps of friends. And a big pile, go figure, and a big pile of smashed plates on someone's doorstep is a sign of popularity, apparently. So I live in Kowloon Village, number 195, if you'd like to come smash some plates. And then I just have to do this one. In Ireland, yes, I looked it up. Although it's not done now, they bake a fresh cake or other fresh baked goods, and the head of the house goes to the front of the, goes to the doorsteps of the house and takes the fresh cake or other baked goods and heaves them out into the yard and throws them away to mean that they won't be hungry the rest of the year. But if you're in but if you're in Cuba, you throw dirty water out the front instead. So I think I'd rather be in Ireland than in Cuba, right? So these are things that we do for the new year. And in just a minute, we are going to look at, as Christians, what do we do to get ready for a new year? Have you done anything to get ready for a new year? So I want you to be thinking about that, because I'm going to be talking about our hearts this morning. But before we, this is the intro, but what we're going to do first is have some time for testimonies. So this was just sort of a lighthearted intro, but as Christians, there are things that we can do to get ready for a new year. And I was thinking about this because sometimes people say, well, we should be ready always. I agree. I agree with you. We should be ready at all times. But the thing is, we're not, are we? And when we look at the Word of God, we see things in the Word of God where God himself makes special times, as we're going to see, with the children of Israel, when he instituted the Passover, which is, we're going to do the New Testament part this morning when we have the Lord's Supper. But he told the Jewish people, the Hebrews, as he was going to bring them out of Egypt, he said, this will be your first day of the first month from now on. And it was something special. At other times, he did other things as well. There are quite a few. In Haggai, the Old Testament prophet that not many of us read, God speaks to the people and he says, pay attention to the time. Or Haggai is only two chapters, by the way, so it's easy for any of us to read. And it would be a great, great book for you to read as we say goodbye to 2023 and hello to 2024. Two chapters. It's wonderful. And throughout the book of Haggai, God says to his people, take careful thought. Pay attention to this. It has been this way, but from now on, it's going to be this way instead. And I'd like us in this service today, what the Lord has put on my heart, as we come to this, to have kind of a time and a moment of a change. We know that things don't always change from one year to the next, but God can do things at specific times. So I'd like this on your hearts as we look ahead. But first, if you have a testimony, Janice has a prepared testimony. I asked her to, and she is well prepared. But I want to give anybody else a chance. You just want to say thank you to God for something, for anything in 2023. It's an open mic. You know, we have open mic nights. And if you'd like to say thank you, I'm so sorry, you have to say thank you to God on this spot in this microphone so that people online can hear you and can see you. So we want to take just a little bit of time, and then Janice is going to come, and then we're going to go on to this. So if you have a testimony, people on the if I'm standing right here, can you see me on the camera? Do I need to move it back? I'll move it right here. Okay. That'll work, won't it? You don't have to look at the camera here. Okay, open mic time to say thank you to the Lord. Here we go. Anybody of any age, in any language, we'll translate for you. Tobias, come right up here, please. Thank you.
Okay, hello.
Hello. Oh, sorry. Hello.
The question was, what am I most grateful for in 2023? And I think gratefulness. Pardon? Yeah, 2023. I think gratefulness is at its greatest when it's a realization. And so I think to recap, basically, what the most grateful thing I have for. Not just in 2023, but I think in my life, is that God has a plan for me and that has a plan for all of us. Now, us as humans, we always like to plan. We always like to, like, oh, we have to get here by this time. We have to do this, do that.
Yes.
And, but it's the fact that I know that God has a plan that actually lets me relax. And let me tell you a story of basically when you don't have a plan and how things work out as it should. And so there was one time, there was a day where I had like a history trip, and after the trip, it ended at like 3 and we had nothing to do. So then, me and like 5 of my friends decided to, go to IFC to have, you know, no plan. We just walk and talk, basically. And, we ended up staying there from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. just talking, like, about real stuff, talking about life, not like, oh, how's school doing? No, like real stuff. Like, instead of, like, how's school doing? Like how are you doing? That those type of questions. And just, like, sitting there watching, like, the sunset, basically. I think those are, like, the best things that can happen when you don't have a plan. And that it's just really nice on how it all works out. And also relating to God's plan, I think plans always come with motivation, right? Motivation to do stuff. Motivation is everything. Well, it's your will to live. It's, you may not realize it, but it's actually what keeps us alive, whether that be ambitions you have, aspirations you have, nonetheless, these things are motivation. And there's a verse in, well, Genesis that actually really scares me. Was Genesis 6:6. It says, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Now, it grieved God. Now, he's saying how, oh, on first day, on the second day, third day, the stuff he made, and it was good. And yet here in the first time, it's mentioned that God felt grieved. Now, something about this truly motivates me. So like whenever I feel like I'm doing something bad or I'm not doing what I should be doing, I think of God grieving and whether or not what I'm doing is actually glorifying him. And so with this thought of whenever I do something that's not right, I always think, well, God has grieved and whether I should be continuing what I'm doing. So to conclude, I think, yeah, I'm grateful for God not just being my motivation to carry on, but also, like, I'm grateful for his plan and the people and the things he's given and put in my life. Yeah, thank you.
Someone else, thank you. We're glad Eileen is alive and not dead. I mean that.
I don't have anything prepared, actually, but I'm just going to be very short. So, like, as many of you know, that I have a bone marrow cancer. And in April, when I was diagnosed, around more than 80% of my plasma cell was sort of, like, not normal. And now, 1 month ago when I did the test, basically, I was told that I was in complete remission. So there's 0% of my plasma cell that is not normal. Throughout this process, there was a lot of... I went through many treatments, and I can say that God has sustained me throughout the process. There was a lot of second side effect because of the treatment, but I did feel... all those did go away. Sometimes I was praying for some small things like eye infection, and it just went away. There was one time that when I was in hospital, I had an eye infection, and I prayed for that eye infection to go. Basically, there was a ball under my eye, and by the time the doctor came with the antibiotic, the cyst just disappeared. Amen. And I did not need to use that infection. There was just so many examples on that. And I don't think I could have gone through that, through my the process of the cancer during without God's strength and God's faithfulness for that. And I can't thank God enough. Amen. Amen.
Eileen, when do you go back in?
I don't know yet.
Don't know yet. Okay.
I'm going to be the next one to go to the hospital.
Okay.
So they're waiting for the previous one to leave so okay. That I can get
okay. Amen. Amen. Someone else. Okay. Andrew Nipin Lay. Kwasai. Yayan Bay. Oh, sorry. Would someone translate for him into English, please? Okay, thank you, Janice.
我開心好感恩啊。
等一下先。
I'm so happy, I'm so grateful.
2023年呢就 last day 嚟㗎嘛。
Today is the last day of 2023.
咁今年特別開心嘅呢係即係教會不斷為我祈禱。
I'm so happy in this year because the lighthouse has been praying for me.
身體又可復發了。
So my body is totally recovered.
感受到聖經的一句話。
I can feel what Bible said.
施比受更有福。
It's better to give than to receive.
今年不單止12月去到呢個胡家的協會聚會鼓勵啲嘅同路人嘅朋友。
So in this month we went to a homeless association to do a reach out.
更加開心咧，係我去翻我以前一個地方。
And more happy is I went to a place I went there before.
叫大欖涌監獄。
It's a Thai Lam Chung prison.
咁喺1969年我入過去嘅。
I was there in 1966.
今年咧，個處長批咗入去講見證分享。
And the chief in the prison approved that I can go back there to do a testimony.
去鼓勵失自由嘅朋友。
To encourage those who lost their freedom.
以前坐監嘅時候、戒毒嘅時候咧，淨係識收啲愛心嘅禮物。
When I was in prison, doing my rehab, I received a lot of love and love, the gift of love.
今一次嘅聖誕咧，好開心啦。
At this Christmas, I was very happy.
可以將禮物傳送到佢嘅手上面。
I can pass out the gift to the prisoners.
唔係更加係禮物嘅開心。
It's more than the happiness from the gift.
係福音就係神嘅大能。
It's the power of God's gospel.
佢使到我改變。
And to see the change of life.
乜更加有好消息咧？大欖涌監獄個處長咧，佢批准我嚟緊2024年咧。
A better news is the chief of the prison of Thai Lam Chung approved me.
每個月可以入去開小組一次。
Every month I can go there in 2024 once a month.
呢個都係一個神蹟嚟嘅。以前坐監，而家鼓勵翻佢哋。
I was there. I was a prisoner before, but right now I can go there to encourage them.
我今次入去咧，係聖誕節咧，有三個牧師。
And in this Christmas there are three pastors.
一個弟兄。
One brother.
加埋我五個人。
Together with me, five people.
真係好鼎盛啊！
將神嘅福音咧 ，to spread the gospel.
將神嘅福音傳去嘅失自由嘅人嘅心裏邊。
To share the gospel to those lost their freedom.
感謝主。
Praise God.
將榮耀歸翻俾神。
Glory to God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I wanted to make sure you all knew when he said I was there in 1960 something something that he was a prisoner when he was there in 1960 before. So I'm looking at the hey Gay 1969. Hi y'all. Amen. The Lord has brought us thus far. Amen. So I'm looking at the time. And I'm going to go ahead, we're going to switch things around a little bit. I know there are other testimonies, but Janice, would you come and share with us what's on your heart? I had asked her almost a month and a half or so, maybe 2 months or so ago, and she said, let me wait. And I said, okay, maybe the end of the year. And she said, yes, I'd be happy to do it then. So Janice, come share with us. What's on your heart, what you've been going through. I'm going to step off the stage for just a minute. I think... Since you're going to be speaking a little bit longer, you want to come up here instead? Not that long. You stand anywhere you want to. Roy will. I'm going to sit down. You go ahead.
Sure.
That's okay.
My husband always said I'm so messy. Pastor Jennifer asked me to. Am I good? The sound? Okay. So asked me to share. I think beginning of December, end of November. I was actually hiding my head under the soil at that time, try to reserve my strength to survive at that time. But God has been very faithful to us in 2023. When I describe this year, I would say it's chaotic and very challenging. And first, my husband broke his arm out of nowhere in the middle of different challenges, and then I have different kind of pain because of old age. You know, right now I'm still in pain constantly, and the pain emotionally, the stress from work, the stress from the decision we made, the decision we pray for, or the decision we did not pray for, or the stress from something caused by other people, but you're part of the collateral damage. So I think every one of us will go through this kind of thing. But I want to testify something is God's grace is always sufficient.
is really always sufficient. It's not my experience as a Christian in this year. I've been at Lighthouse, I think, since 1995. I'm a very rebellious child to God. When I first became a Christian, I asked tons of questions. I asked here and that, or are you real, and this and that, and God very patiently answered me in different way and encouraged me to grow. I left a few years because, you know, I don't like that, God, you know, why it happened to me. So I went away for a few years. And it took me a few years to come back. It took me a few years to find a church to settle down. Until I met my husband, I came here. It didn't change instantly. I slept at the back for a few years when Pastor Nolan's still here. I came from work after Sunday. I worked for 7 days at that time. So they have afternoon service. I stay at the back. I really want to seek God, but, you know, just sleepy, you know, after lunch. So slept 3 years. Until there was time, I really have a fire in my heart. I really want to seek God, because what's the point of coming without really knowing he's real or not? Don't waste time. So there was a time I really spent a lot of time going to different conferences, really cry out to him. I think every one of us will go through this stage when we are growing in the Lord. I'm going far away now. Okay. What I want to say now, okay. Okay, I want to say yes. During this year, let's go back to 2 or 3, more focused, I know, yes. He does not always reply in the timeline we want. There's time you really think, how can I go through this? But here and there, one of the sermons from Pastor is, you know, he will bring you through this. And we will just hang in there. How come it's not yet done? Come on, we want to finish. But in the process, it's not the first time in our life to face different challenges. So I always remind myself, let's not waste time going through difficulties without learning something else, something from the lesson or from the experience. So I will remind myself, don't lose the chance to learn something from the bad, to turn the curse to a blessing. So I'm a very slow learner. So I learned in the past few decades, I have to learn something. Even if it's difficult, I want to go through it, but I don't want to come empty-handed, you know, for very Hong Kongers, you know, to get something from it, right? So I want to learn from it. So this is what I really grateful for 2023. Things did not really go smoothly overnight, but it's really a lot of things I want to really give glory to God. Yes, I can assure you, no matter what you're going through, whatever questions you have, His grace is more than sufficient. This is really the thing I want to share and tell you guys. During the difficult time, an old friend of mine who's an old Christian, we have been growing, he's older than me, but we're growing together in the Lord for decades. So when I share with those things with her that, you know, the difficulties, being honest, sometimes it's difficult to share with those people in the church because you see them every Sunday. Sometimes when you really want to reserve your energy to go through the time, I'd rather stay home online. I'm very honest. It doesn't mean I don't love you, because I want to reserve the energy to share later. So I share with her, and she asked a question that, do you ask why? And, you know, you're left and right, your plate is so full, and you still have something going on. And I was shocking. Huh? I always like to ask why. So how come I didn't ask why this year? So I think the training with God is everyone. He gives different lessons or train us in different situations. In my work is, when you got an urgent problem, you don't ask why. You identify the problem and fix it, and put your problem aside first. As a mom, gave up to 3 children, so my this time you need to turn to a dead mode, I said. You have to pretend you're dead, so you can't respond to the situation. So that's
the learning, my life lesson. Every one of you, some of the sisters, you love your family, you love your friends, and come here. To me, you have the strongest mind. I could not do it, but you do it. So God mold you in your situation, and God will turn your experience to bless other people. As a new mom, as an older mom, parents, students, right? And everyone have the plan in mind, or everyone, okay, let's God plan it. No matter what way you choose, there's always questions in my life. I guess it will be in your life. You will ask, what's the best for me? How God can lead me? Is God really real? I think it's really good questions. I always said it's good to ask questions so you will seek the answer. And you will see, God, can you show me the answer? And yeah, all these things are here and there, but all from my heart. And okay, I think it's time I should cut my blessing. I talk so many. Okay. Out of all this chaotic, I really want to thank God for his grace, for his faithfulness. All the songs we sang today is really close to my heart. God is not, Chris is not fully recovered, but is in progress. He has not yet in the second surgery. We don't know yet. And my pain is still here when I'm talking. And those collateral damage is still there. We cannot see through it. And we see mountains and mountains, but everyone have it in life. So, but God is always there no matter how big and how small, and he's already always faithful. It's really the word faithful. And we receive so much grace from the people around us, from the non-Christian, from those, I don't know why they can be so gracious to us. I don't know why they be so supportive to us. But I think God have done it, maybe we already sowing seed, we don't even know. But it's all in God's plan. And I thank God for, as a parent when I was young, I always heard, you need to give the best to your children. I always ask God, what is the best to my children? If I give him the best, if I'm richer, if I am a better mom, would it be nurture them in a better way? But I at that time I already think, if you don't go through difficulties, how can God mold you? How can you really understand what other people going through? You are staying in I don't know how to say it. If you are living or growing up in the palace, how can you down to earth? So that's what I meant. I think no matter how what weakness we have, what guilt we have in our life, and God can turn that into a blessing to yourself, to the friends and family around you. And I want to, okay, too long. The thank list seems I'm receiving a Grammy Award, and I want to thank everyone. I want to thank the Lighthouse family. When Chris is in hospital, your prayer, you visit him, your food and everything, and you be patient to listen to us, to the every sharing we have. Here and there, I may not talk to you every week. I always, maybe I'm a quite, you know, shy and cold person, you know. I don't really talk a lot. But I'm really grateful for every details. One time, I want to thank the sister who take care of the details of the church. This time, I think a group of sisters left the church. So a few weeks when I came back to church, the exhaust fan in the toilet is not on. It's very humid. It's not that pleasant. This tiny thing actually can affect newcomers. We can affect the impression of a guest. So I talked to Melrose, and Melrose taught me, okay, this is the switch. We are so take for granted because someone took care of it all the years. I don't even know where's the exhaust fan switch. But after I talked to her, someone took care of since then. So this tiny thing, you may think, okay, I'm just doing a small job. I'm nobody, but no. Everyone see details. And the details actually bless a lot of people. So I want to thank you for everything, and I pray I will keep counting blessing. I will pray that we will keep growing the Lord, and thank you so much for this time for sharing. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing, Janice. And I know if we had more time, there would be many people who would like to share as well. And we don't have that time, although we will in the future. But we're going to close with this morning. We're going to share communion together. And I think some of the things that Janice shared are really appropriate, because this is what it means to be in God's family. But God also puts us in church families, local church families as well. And this is what we want for Lighthouse, to pray for one another and to love one another and to accept one another. And when someone is down, rather than get up, kick, instead we reach a hand and we help up. And this is part of being in the family of God. So we're going to close a little bit differently. I think Melrose and David, if you'll come back up, and what we had talked about, and ushers, if you'll come forward, Donna and May, we're going to give you a piece of paper first. Okay, this is how we're gonna close today. And wonder of wonders, I have a 3-page message here, and I'm not gonna preach from it. Several pages, but this is what I want to do. Aren't you happy? Because now it's. You may hear it again at another time, but let's just do the paper first, okay? So we're going to hand you a piece of paper, and a little bit earlier, the youth, we have done this already, right, out at Wukai Sha. John and I and Anil and Mina did this in the country where you all gave the chocolates that we went to. And what the Lord put on my heart was for us to end 2023 and move into 2024 in this way. So you should have a piece of paper, and I'm not going to preach the message, which had both Old Testament and New Testament examples, but we are going to end in this way. Do you have something in your life, in your heart, I'm going to give you one verse and that's it. I had 15. This is our theme verse for us. This is it, okay? From Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it is the wellspring of life. One of the most important verses in the Bible. And so as we leave 2023 and as we go into 2024, you've got a piece of paper for a reason. If you say, nah, I don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. That's okay. But often we do physical things that remind us of a spiritual reality. So that's what we're going to do today. So you got a piece of paper, and the question is, do you have something in your heart or in your life, and you don't want to carry it into 2024? You're sick of it. You've carried it long enough. Maybe you've prayed about it before, and you say, I've already prayed about it before. I've made a commitment before, and it happened again. Well, guess what? Then you take it to God again. Is there something in your family? Is there something in your own heart? Is there an unforgiveness? Is there a bitterness? Because if we don't take care of things, the Bible tells us what happens, right? Bitterness grows. I didn't make that up. That's what God said. That's why he says, guard your heart. Guard your heart. And when there's bitterness in our heart, the water is poisoned. It brings life to no one, not to ourselves and not to others. Do you have a grudge against someone in your heart? And you say, I've tried, but they keep on doing the same thing. Well, they haven't asked forgiveness yet. Jesus took care of that on the cross. That's why we have this cross here today. Just as a reminder, some of you are living under condemnation because you're struggling with the same sins over and over and over again. And you've said, I've asked Jesus to forgive me, and he has, but then I did it again. I even took a stand. I was even water baptized, but I did it again. Jesus took care of guilt and condemnation on the cross also. That's why this cross is here, to remind us this morning. And then we're going to share communion together. And so I want to invite you this morning. I'm not going to look at this. You say, well, I don't want anybody to see it. Nobody is going to see it. God already knows about it, right? You think it's a secret? God says, I see it in your heart. But you just say, you know, I'd like to get it out of my life. I want it out of my heart. God, I need your help. And so if you need a pen or a pencil, you can write it. You don't have to if you don't want to. But sometimes a physical step is good for us. So the ushers have pens or pencils if you need one, although I always have a pen with me. So if you need a pen or a pencil or a marker, the ushers have. And I invite you to, if there's something in your heart and you say, God, help me get rid of it. I've carried it through 2023. I don't want to carry it anymore. I don't want to carry it into 2024. Lord, I want to guard my heart above all else, because the wellspring of life, of my life, comes from this. God, get it out of my heart. Lord, here it is. Here it is. And just write it on there. And then I'm going to invite you to bring it up here to the cross. You can scrunch it up. You can fold it up. You can do anything you want to. And just drop it. There's a place you can just drop it right here. And then I'm going to invite you to come up. And we're going to share communion together as well. Because the Bible says that we are to examine ourselves, right? So this is one of the ways we do that. And I think it's a great way to leave 2023 and enter 2024 with clean hearts. Just like that whoever it was that took out that old dirty, dead, dying Christmas tree out the back and left a trail of ugly water and Christmas needles. But then it was clean in the apartment. And that's what we want to do as we leave 2023 and 2024. I invite you to do that. So the musicians are playing, and if you have something written, you can just bring it up. You can pray as you bring it up if you want to. And then I invite you to come and get, if you get it from here, it's cup and bread together. If you get it from here, it's a cup and then bread separately. You can get either one. And then after you get it, you can go back to your seat. We will eat and drink together, and then we'll pray together. Amen? So I've got something to write. You may have written already, and you can just bring it up, and then you can just go ahead and get that. Don't be shy. By the way, if you were perfect, you'd be in heaven already. We've all got something in our hearts, right? So let's just do this. Let's just do this together. If you say, I prefer not to, that's really okay. You can just come get communion elements if you want to. And just come on up, and you can just drop it right here. Amen. And if you want to sing this, you're welcome to. Yeah. So these are separate, and these are all together. You can get either one. So if you get it from here, Andres, then you'll get that one. It's okay. inside of you, so you don't need that.
That's okay.
You just put it back. It's okay. It doesn't matter. It's okay. No problem.
Of the goodness of God.
All my life you have been faithful.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so of the goodness of God.
I will sing.
I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Amen. So what you've written, it's at the cross. It doesn't matter how bad, how awful, how shameful it is. Jesus already paid for it. And he already took condemnation and all the guilt. So if the enemy's been beating you over the head about it, you say, yeah, but Jesus already paid the price. And you let it go. Don't let the devil keep beating you up about it. Don't. God's not mad at you. He's not. He was, if you want to think about it this way, he was mad at Jesus when Jesus took all the sin and all the shame, and he was the sinner because God hates sin, but Jesus took it, right? Jesus took it. So it's there. So we're going to leave it there. If you stumble and fall again, you're going to take it back to Jesus and you're going to leave it there again. But we want to go into 2024 with clean hearts and open hearts. Amen? So, Lord, all of these things that we have symbolically written and put on this paper as something from our hearts and lives, Lord, that we don't want it in our lives. We want to, above all else, God, our hearts, so that this wellspring of life in us will be pure and sweet and life-giving and not bitter and dirty and ugly. So, Lord, we give it to you because we can't do that. Only you can. So we bring it to you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And we leave it with you. And now, Jesus, we come to the table that you said, do this and remember me. Just before you went to the cross and you took the bread and you broke it and you said, this is my body that's broken for you. And then you took the cup and you said, This cup represents my blood that's shed for you. And in the bread and in the cup are all the provisions you and I need for life and godliness in this world. As 2 Peter 1 says, he's given us all we need for life and godliness. It's there for us. And as we come to the table of the Lord, everything, it is there. And so we're going to remember our Lord Jesus. Sometimes it's very somber, it can be, but sometimes it's just joyful too, just thankful as we remember, God, Jesus, you've done this for me. I'm so, so grateful. I'm so, so grateful. So whatever the emotion is that the Holy Spirit, whatever he has put in your heart, just respond to the Lord in that way this morning. Me, I'm so grateful. You all don't know how many times I blow it in a week, how many times I stumble and fall and I just go back to Jesus. Your pastor, you probably knew that, but anyhow, you know, confession. And Jesus says, I love you. I'm not mad at you. I forgive you. You're clean. You're accepted. You're part of the family. I'm so grateful for that. I really am. And so I want to do what Jesus says, and so do you, which is that we do this, we remember him, and we wait for his return for us. So this morning, if you got this type of cup, you know to peel it back and together we'll eat bread. If you got this one, then you know that the bread is separate. So Jesus, we remember your body that was broken for us. You took sin and sickness on your body that we might be whole. And Lord, we remember you and your provision. May your healing continue to come upon our bodies and upon our hearts and upon our emotions and upon our minds today and in the days ahead. Thank you, Jesus. We remember you. Shall we eat together? And then the Bible says, in the same way, he took the cup after supper, and he said, this cup is a covenant. It's the agreement, the New Testament, if you will. It's the agreement that's in my blood. And the agreement is that because of his blood shed for us, he takes the penalty of our sin, and we don't. He took death for us so that we could have life. And that's what we want, right? And so, Jesus, we remember you this morning and your blood shed. Shall we drink together? Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Stephen, would you come and close us in prayer would you close us in prayer, and then don't leave. We have a couple of really important announcements, but Stephen's going to close us in prayer. Let me do the announcements. May I say one thing? I don't want to break the mood, but don't steal my pens and my pencils. Give them back to the ushers. They're getting them. But Stephen, would you close us in prayer this morning?
Hallelujah. Father, we are so grateful for the gift of love, of grace, and of mercy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the testimonies you've had today. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being with us through 2023. It's been a hard year for many of us. Mm-hmm. But God, you have been there for us. Your promises are yes and amen. Mm-hmm. You are God who never changes. You father us. You protect us. You guide us and you teach us. You lift us up from the miry clay. You give us strength to move on. God, you're a good God, and we thank you. Thank you for this church, God. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for Pastor Jennifer, for the board and the people who have served us through the year. Ushers and cleaners and each and every individual. We are so grateful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the testimonies of healing. Mm-hmm. We thank you for Sister Aline. Thank you for Francia. We thank you for what you're doing in Claire's life and Roy and the family. God, we are grateful. Thank you for answering prayers. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless your children as we go out today. I pray that you will give us a song in the night. Mm-hmm. Whatever the circumstances, God, that we shall be ambassadors of Christ wherever we go. Again, we thank you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So the two announcements as we close, thank you. God bless you all. You can give your writing utensils back to the ushers. So what you have put up here, I promise I'm not going to take them home and look at them and figure out your handwriting. It's not my business. But I am going to take these home, and I'm going to take them up on the roof, and I'm going to burn them, okay? And I'm going to burn them, and then I'm not trying to be weird, but sometimes physical things help us. It's a step. I'm not being weird, okay? But these things, they're symbols and things we do just as we have communion and other things like that. I'm just going to burn it. In other words, it's over and it's done with. Not going to read it. It's between you and the Lord. Amen. Over and done with. And then the second announcement, final announcement, is this. We're going to have a lunch potluck on the last day of the year up on the fourth floor. You say, what? I haven't heard about this. I believe we have enough food for everyone. And if not, you can run down the steps to that place and you can get a rice box, three veggies or meat, and what's it called in Cantonese?
Three dishes.
Three dishes, and it's $35 or something like that, or whatever, and just join us. And I think Melrose, see, she has disappeared. We're going to get pizza somewhere too, right? She's doing it right now. So we've got enough to share, and if we don't have so much, we'll just eat a little bit less, right? So, I think that's it. No other announcements, right? God bless you. Say hello to everybody. Happy New Year, Frank, Janet, and family. Welcome back. Welcome back, and others. Amen. There we go.